happy 4th of July, everyone. It's a good day. Good day today. You know, I'm so thankful for our leadership team. We've been meeting weekly. And, you know, one thing that we've really tried to concentrate on is our relationship with one another as a leadership team, also our relationship with you. Because if we're going to walk together, if we're going to do everything that we do as a church does, then we need to get to the heart of who we are. To get to know one another. Okay? I'm finding out things about our leadership team. I've been walking with them some 6-7 years now, and I'm finding out things today that I never knew. And of course, you know, a lot of that is because that's my fault. I should have gotten out there more than what I should have. But God is full of grace and mercy, and now He's showing us things. He's showing me things, and I sense the church growing. And when I say I sense the church growing, it's growing from the inside. You know, we've been going outside the walls, and now there's some things happening inside that are strengthening us, making our foundation even stronger. And so I'm so thankful for our leadership team. They're helping me because I'm having to step up into a role that, honestly, I've never been in before. So, but this is a fun walk for me because I know I'm surrounded by people who love me. And so I thank you very much for that. The FCCM, they have been helping us with Pastor Mark's sabbatical. And they have helped us get pastors set up, preachers to come in. And, of course, the 4th of July, that slot was open. And I just, you know, they're scrambling to see who they could get to come in. And I just got this sense in my heart that I needed to step up. And I needed to fill that position. You know, I didn't want them to try to get someone down here that would have pulled them away from their family on a day like today. Because this is a good day. And so I decided, I said, you know what, I'm going to step up. I told Gary, our elder, one of our elders, and he said, man, I think that's from God. And so I decided to step into it. And so when I did, I said, Father, I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. I said, but I know you do, and like Moses, I can open my mouth, but I need you to speak through me. Because for me, I'm not a talker. And of course, I know a lot of you know that. I don't talk an awful lot. Of course, now the youth probably would say something different. But, you know, it's fun to be up there with the youth group because I don't have to talk as much because they have a voice and they begin to speak. So I decided, like I said, I said, Father, you're gonna have to show me what it is that you want me to say, or what is it that you want to say. And he told me this. He said, Neil, he said, you've been talking about relationship. He said, you need to tell the people who you are. He said, you need to tell the people what makes you a Christian. And so I go, okay. What else do I do? Because that's not so easily said, because you never want to say the wrong things. You don't want people to take things wrong. And so I just begin to pray about it, and God gave me a word. And so I'm going to share a little bit about who I am. And so if you're taking notes today, the title of today's message is, what makes me a Christian? Now, when you write that down, now I say that for myself. Neil, what makes you a Christian? But I want you to write that, and I want you to ask yourself, if you are saying that you're a Christian, what makes you a Christian? If you're here today and you've not taken that step to ask Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life, today is a good day for you. Because for one, you've stepped across the threshold of the church because you're seeking after something or someone. And what better place to find it than among people who love you and who believe in you and who have Christ. Christ in their heart. So write that down, and I'm gonna talk about that a little bit, and I'm just gonna share with you some points in my life. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Typically, this passage is usually at the end of a lot of sermons, but I'm going to start right there. I don't want to waste a lot of time, because at the end of the service today, I'm going to give you a chance to respond. I think that's very important, because I don't want you to leave today without having that opportunity to respond to what the Father is telling you. Okay? We're going to start at the very beginning of chapter 5. Paul's speaking to Christians in Galatia. And he begins to talk about freedom of the Christian. Chapter 5, verse 1. Christ has liberated us into freedom. Therefore, stand firm and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. Take note, I, Paul, tell you that if you get circumcised, Christ will not benefit you at all. Again, I testify to every man who gets circumcised that he is obligated to keep the entire law. You who are trying to be justified by the law are alienated from Christ. You have fallen from grace, for by the Spirit we eagerly wait for the hope of the righteousness from faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision accomplishes anything. What matters is faith working through love. You are running well. Who prevented you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who called you. A little yeast leavens the whole lump of dough. In the Lord, I have confidence in you that you will not accept any other view. But whoever it is who is troubling you will pay the penalty. Now, brothers, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. I wish those who are disturbing you might also get themselves castrated. For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. For the entire law is fulfilled in one statement: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you will be consumed by one another. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But you are led by the Spirit. You are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar, about which I tell you in advance, as I told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, and this is my favorite, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I say again, against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. We must not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, as I stand here and you look at me, For some of those, of course, some of you may have already known, but if you were to look at me, could you tell that I had ever been in the military? No, right? Could you tell that I was in the Marine Corps? Probably not. Now, it's really cool for those of you who are in the military right now, have been in the military, there's something unique about being able to see other soldiers, other Marines. You know, I can sit in a restaurant and I can watch people come in the door, and I can tell you when a Marine comes in just by looking at him, by the way he walks. If I overhear conversation, by the way he dresses, by the way his hair is cut, yeah, I can sense those things. I can tell. But truly, does that make them a Marine? Does that make them a soldier because they have the haircut, because they wear the uniform, because they have the tattoos? Does that make them who they are? What makes them that? Begin to look on the inside, and we'll see a little bit more with some other scriptures that I got. But, you know, when I joined the Marine Corps and I went into boot camp, the whole purpose of boot camp is that the Marines want to instill something inside of you that you're able to persevere under extreme circumstances. You're able to have peace under extreme circumstances. When you go through Army boot camp, they're hollering in your face. They're making you do push-ups. They're wearing you out, and they're right over the top of you. But the whole point is that they're going to see if they can break you. Because if they can break you, then you have no place in the Army. You have no place in the Marine Corps, in the Air Force, in the Navy. Because they know there's going to come a time where you're going to be under so much pressure. Circumstances are going to be so tough that if you fold, you're going to get not only yourself killed, but you're going to get the people around you killed. So there's something that the Marines want to put in you. It's something that the Army wants to put in you that make you stand tall, that gives you peace, confident assurance under any circumstance. Now, I say the Marine Corps wants to put it in you. The Army wants to put it in you. Let me say right now, there are several things in this world that wants to take credit for what Jesus has already did on the cross. Would you say amen to that? You're going to hear a lot of things. There's things that the Marine Corps tried to instill in me, but I now see that came from Jesus. All those things that we just listed up there, the fruit of the Spirit, and I say the fruit of the Spirit, I'm not saying the gifts of the Spirit, I'm saying the fruit of the Spirit. All those things listed in there are some of the same things that was put into me as a Marine. Same things that you see when men in the Air Force and men in the Army, the same things, they're trying to put those inside of you. So then in times of troubles, times of peace, that you're able to bring those out from inside of you. I can remember, you know, going into boot camp, and there's this part where you're dropped to your drill instructors. You've been issued all your gear, and you have this sea bag. Everybody, who knows what sea bag is? Okay, this big, round, green, ugly bag. It's about this big around. And you stuff every piece of clothing and equipment that they issued you stuff that inside this bag. So by the time it's full, it stands about 3.5-4 foot tall, this big around, and probably weighs at about 70 pounds, 50, 60 to 70 pounds. It weighs a ton. Well, I can remember, here I am, I'm 5'4", buck 25, soaking wet, joined the Marine Corps. Nothing to me. I think the sea bag weighed more than I did actually at the time. But I can remember we've all got our gear, and we're all sitting down, similar to what you guys are here, and everybody's on the ground, and the drill instructors are up here. And we have a senior drill instructor, and then we have three regular drill instructors. Senior drill instructors like your dad throughout the whole boot camp. And, of course, he has three drill instructors behind him. And, of course, that is his dogs. Let's just put it that way. When he says sick them, they come after us. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They come after you. And so I can remember, we're just sitting down. It's like, we got our haircuts, Our heads white as they can be because they're not tan at all, And you can tell we're newbies. We're new there because, like I said, our hair is gone and our head is just as white as it can be. And I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be cool. We're going to get to learn cool stuff. We're going to get to cool stuff. But what I didn't know was which was about to come. Because the company officer, the base officer comes up, the commanding officer. He steps up in front of the senior drill instructors, and they salute, puts their hands down, and he says, Platoon 2038 is formed and ready for you, sir. They salute again. He turns around and walks off. Senior drill instructor's just looking at us. And I don't know if you've ever seen these glasses. We call them Poindexter glasses. They are the ugliest things that you have ever seen. And my senior drill instructor had this eye that looked like this. And so he's looking at me, I think. And he's like this. And I'm going, okay, what's about to happen? Well, he turns around. He does an about face. And he faces his three drill instructors. And he says this one thing, get them. And when he does, all three drill instructors just run after us. They start hollering and screaming. And I'm like, this is not what I signed up for. You have got to be kidding me. I mean, they're all over us. I mean, they're screaming at you, and they don't care. They're spitting all over you as they're, barking out commands. And so I remember all that's going on, and our barracks was set up similar to this right here. It's about probably a little bit narrower than this, really close. But one side has bunk beds. They're stacked on top of each other, rows of them all the way down. And then there's what these things call foot lockers, these brown lockers. And you open it up, you put all your stuff in it, and you shut it. And there's two per bunk, and they line this side, and then there's this yellow line that runs down. And then the squad bay is just a big open hallway. And then same thing on this side. You got bunks that line this side, and foot lockers, and then this line. And so when the drill instructors say, get on line, everybody lines up on this line at attention, and we're facing each other. So if you can kind of picture that. And so we had to go through this thing called an inventory, where you have to inventory all your clothes, make sure you got issued all your gear so that you're set for the next phase of training. And so the drill instructor stands up there, and he's just barking these commands. At first, you just don't understand what he's saying. And he's saying all this stuff. But what we could get out, he's saying, okay, I want you to go back. You've been issued 10 pair of skivvies. Okay, if you don't know what skivvies are, they're basically your underwear. Some of us were issued, depending on your preference, some of us had briefs, some of us had boxer shorts. So he says, okay, you've been issued 10 pairs of skivvies, and you've been issued 10 shirts. He said, now when I give you the command, I want you to run back. And think now, you have a sea bag that's full of stuff. He says, I'm going to give you the count of 10 to grab 10 pairs of skivvies and 10 undershirts, and I want you back online so we can count it. And so he gets the command, and he says, ready, move, and we scatter. Boom, and we dump out these sea bags, and stuff is going everywhere. And I'm trying to grab my underwear, and I'm trying to grab my shirts, and you're draping it over. And as soon as you get it all, you go running back. And if anything hits the ground, you got to go back and start all over again. Well, the whole time this is going on, they're just screaming at you. They're hollering, and I mean, it's just total chaos. So I can remember, I got a chance, and I'm like, all right, let me think about this. So I grab my T-shirts, and I start punching my hand through the holes in the T-shirt so they won't come off. And I start doing that with my underwear, and I've got three or four pair of underwear on my shoulders, and I've got them, and he's counting down 5, 4, 3, so, and I grab two pair of underwear, and by the time I get to it, I had put one of the pair of underwear on top of my head. And I'm just standing there, and we're all standing there looking, and so he comes down, and he starts to walk down, and he stands right in front of me, and by this time, I'm just kind of looking through one of the holes of the underwear. But he counts them, and I have everything. And he said, good job, recruit. Now go put them away. Okay, so I go put them away. But see, the whole point of that story is it didn't matter how many pairs of underwears that I had. He didn't really care. He knows what we've been issued. The whole point was I knew that there was no way I could please him. I knew there was no way that I was going to be able to get all that stuff on me and get back. Somehow it worked out, but that wasn't the point. He wanted to see if he could break me. And so what happened is I began to see that the whole process of being a Marine is having a peace, having self-control. All those things that we just listed in Galatians, all those things, if you have that inside of you and that be magnified in who you are, then you can get through anything. You can get through anything. John 14:27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not of this world, so don't let your hearts be fearful and troubled. Now, the world's definition of peace is a world without conflict. Now, tell me right now, are there anyone in this room that says your life is not free of conflict? It's not, is it? It may be good today, but what happens tomorrow? See, we live in a fallen world. Jesus never said there wouldn't be conflict. He never said there's not going to be trial and tribulation. But see, the peace that Jesus is talking about is peace in the heart. That's why he says, don't let your heart be troubled and fearful. Because what I want to put inside of you, you can overcome anything that the world throws at you. Any circumstance. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. It's so awesome. So that's my some of my boot camp experience. That's just drop day. We still have another 3 more months to go. You know, and through that whole time I can remember. And like I said, there's some things that, you know, I'm seeing things. Because I'm in. I volunteered for this. This is not somebody forced on me. I know you're going, Pastor New, you're crazy. But I knew I had to do this. You know, I needed something that I belonged to. And I'm thankful for what God did to me in the Marine Corps and what he showed me. You see, now I give him credit. At the time, I didn't know what was going on. But I know his hand has always been there, and his hand has always been there for you to lift you up. You may not know it, but he has, and he'll never leave you. He never left me, because there was a time when I was tested. August 1st, 1990, Iraq invaded Kuwait. My unit got called up. 3 of our platoons got called up. I was in 3rd Force Reconnaissance Company, the reserve unit here at the park, municipal park. They called up and they said, I need 3 platoons, your 1st, 2nd, 3rd line platoons. And reconnaissance is a cool field to be in. And we get to do, we got jump qualified. I was up to go get my scuba bubble, to get scuba, you know, certified. But they called me up, they said, this is the thing. hilarious. Coming up, they said, Sergeant Neil, Sergeant Battalier, said, you got time to get married. That was the first thing they said. I'm like, what? They said, you got time to get married. They knew I was scheduled to get married. And so they called me up, and that's what they said. You got time to get married because you're getting out, you're getting called up to go active duty. We're sending you to Persian Gulf. And so now I was going to be tested, more than just tested. What the Marine Corps instilled in me, now I'm going to have to bring out. Self-control. How do you show goodness in the middle of war? How do you show kindness in the middle of a war? God's going to give you opportunities. He gave me opportunities to do so. So I was tested. He brought me home safely. War's not a good thing. It's not fun. If you've ever been shot at before, quite scary. Especially with a 50 cal. 50 caliber round is about like that. Shot from the top of a armored personnel carrier. You see these rounds buzzing over your head. And mortars going off, just like the movies. It was exactly like it. And they talk about time standing still. It was. But God is faithful. He's awesome. Brought me home. And so now I have that to share. But the main thing is what He put inside of me. What was put inside of me. So we talk about what we read here in Galatians. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 3. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is in here. Look at verse 1. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Now, Paul is sent this letter to the Corinthian church. It's his second letter. And what's happened is these Judaizers have come in, and they're trying to sway these people. They're trying to sway the Christians that are in Corinth to go back to the old way of doing things, the old law. Basically, it's the law of what you can do. You know, and we see that the law only brings death. Well, we're going to read that. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or like some, do we need letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter. Let me repeat that. You yourselves are our letter. Written on our hearts, recognized and read by everyone. Since it is plain that you are Christ's letter, produced by us, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on stone tablets, but on tablets that are hearts of flesh. We have this kind of confidence toward God through Christ, not that we are competent in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our competence is from God. He has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit produces life. Now, if the ministry of death, chiseled in letters on stones, came with glory so that the sons of Israel were not able to look directly at Moses' face because of the glory from his face, a fading glory, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness overflows with even more glory. In fact, what had been glorious is not glorious in this case because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was fading away was glorious, what endures will even be more glorious. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness, not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel could not look at the end of what was fading away, but their minds were closed. For this day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains. It is not lifted, because it is set aside only in Christ. I say that again, because it is set aside only in Christ. However, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We all, with unveiled faces, are reflecting the glory of the Lord and being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord, who is the Spirit. See, we let God's work, let His Word speak for itself. What do? Preach Christ crucified. See, these people, they think they had to wear a uniform. They think they had to have letters of recommendation. They think they had to have the tattoos and the dog tags and all that stuff that make them Christians. Paul says, you don't need that. You are the letter. What I have talked to you about, what Christ has done in you, you are the letter by what you say. By Christ coming out of you, you are the letter. Don't be swayed by what they're saying. Don't be swayed. He said, because the Lord is Spirit, and where He is, there is freedom. Where He is at, there is freedom. See, from a distance, the credentials are good. But up close and personal, as in a relationship, it's what's in your heart that matters. When I realized that Jesus was all I needed, now He's all I ever want. He is all I ever want. What makes you a Christian? What makes you a Christian? Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is joy and love and peace and kindness. That is what's produced by one thing that's put inside of you. That's what makes you. One more set of scripture I want you to look at. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 6. Paul's talking about the life-giving Spirit. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is what? Is life and peace. For the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit itself to God's law, for it is unable to do so. Those whose lives are in the flesh are unable to please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. since the Spirit of God lives in you. What makes you a Christian? If you allow the Spirit of God come inside of your heart, when you endure times of trouble, when the world say you shouldn't be at peace in your heart because of the circumstances you are under, but when the Spirit of the living God is inside your heart, all you can do is produce the fruits of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, gentleness, kindness. If you're here today and that's what you need, if you came here searching, I plead with you, I beg with you, allow Jesus' Spirit to come inside your heart. Because once you realize He is all you need, He's going to be all you ever want. It is His Spirit that gives us our independence. It is His Spirit that sets us free. It's His Spirit that gives us liberty. So no matter what the world throws at you, with His Spirit inside of you, you can overcome anything. And let me just say this, you will overcome it. He will. Because Jesus did.